Something always interests me when Pastor Nate says, Pastor Lionel is not going to bring the message, all the children please leave. If a few of us look a little tired this morning, it's because we attended our annual convention, CBOQ, Canadian Baptists of Ontario and Quebec Convention, in St. Catharines. Some people stayed at the Brock University in the dormitories. Others of us stayed in the motel. But it was a very exhaustive number of days, and we're glad to be back in your midst and sleeping in our own bed, which makes quite a difference. There were a number of highlights. This particular assembly was based on prayer, and they prayed for everything, all kinds of prayers going on throughout the entire time. Within the theater where we sat, a steeped, sort of like an amphitheater, we were sitting in there, and there must have been 500 of us or so, and there were two items that really stood out for me. Number one was, after a certain prayer, a number of prayers, then everybody began to pray the Lord's Prayer. And it was absolutely marvelous to hear men and women and all these voices, 550 plus, praying the Lord's Prayer. And then one evening at one of the services, there was a big black gentleman who came, and he went to the podium and he started to sing. And I'll tell you, the chills just went up and down my spine as he sang. He sang my tribute, which led into To God Be the Glory. And it was absolutely magnificent to hear him sing, as only a black man can do. He did a wonderful, wonderful job, and it was a praise God item. Again, as I said, there were, pardon me, lots of prayers going on. The convention seems to be in fairly good shape. There were three new churches that joined. Some had left because of closure, but others had joined and bringing in over 1,000 members. So this was also a praise God item. This is CBOQ Sunday. And so let's bow in prayer as we have a word of prayer for our convention. Our Father and our God, we offer praise unto you for the most recent meeting assembly of our convention. It was a good one, and there were many people there, one of the highest attendances that we've had for some time. And for this, Lord, we give you thanks. We pray a particular blessing upon Leanne Friesen, our executive minister, and the staff. They did such a wonderful job in coordinating everything that needed to be undertaken at the assembly itself. And they were open to suggestions and open to people thanking them for the task that they undertook. So, Lord, for this we give you thanks, but in particular, we pray your particular blessing on CBOQ, all of its congregations, over 300 throughout Ontario and Quebec. And we pray, Lord, for the strong voice of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that people will come to know that God loves them with an everlasting love. And his love, God's love, was so shown because he sent his son Jesus to pay for our sins. There are millions and millions of people who have not heard that message, and they need to hear it. And we need to share it with people with whom we come in contact, not only as a congregation, not only as a collection of congregations, but also as individuals. People need to know that above everything else that's going on in this world today, God loves them. God has a plan for them. God wants people to turn their lives over to Jesus. And in so doing, that's when God's plan begins to reveal itself to them. And so, Lord, we pray your continued blessing upon our convention, upon our associations, and upon all our congregations. May we each stand up for the love of God, for the cause of Christ, the fact that Jesus died for us. He paid the price so that we could share all eternity with him. For this, O Lord, we give you thanks. We pray it in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, as you will know, if you were here a few weeks ago, we began a series, and the series is a two-week series on Christianity and your home. And when we met previously, we looked at two of four subjects. This morning, we're going to look at the final two. But the first two, the first one was a divinely founded home. And it's based on the scripture found in Psalm 127, verse 1. It says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Now, of course, we know that that means building the house, not the the wooden frame or the brick frame in which we live, but the house that we are, the home that we are in a house. And it's up to the Lord. Unless the Lord, or except the Lord, builds our house, builds this unit, they labor in vain who build it. Ideally, both husband and wife are committed believers in Jesus, and they have a great desire in their heart that Jesus, the Christ, will be the head of their home. Also, we looked at a second topic, which was a divinely fended home. Now, as I said a couple of weeks ago, we don't use the word fended too often. We've heard the expression, you have to fend for yourself, look after yourself. But in this case, we're not talking about us looking after ourselves, but rather that we are depending upon God, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to be with us and lead us as individuals, as husband and wife, father and mother, and in our particular home. It means a home in which prayer is practiced and Bible reading is a regular activity. And the Holy Spirit is more than welcome to fully operate within the home. This morning, the Lord willing, we shall look at two other aspects or two other topics, namely a divinely furnished home and a divinely favored home. But first of all, let us read from God's word as we find in Psalm number 127. If you're looking at the Pew Bible, it's on page 614. But if you're not looking at your own Bible or the Pew Bible, the words will be on the screen. So let us hear the word of God. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For he, God, grants sleep to those he loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A divinely furnished home. We read these words. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, toiling for everything that we think that we want. For he grants sleep to those he loves. Who's the he? God, through Jesus and through his Holy Spirit. Pardon me, this is a psalm not written by David. David did write quite a few of the psalms in the book of Psalms, 150 in total, but this was written by King Solomon. He's saying that the furnishings of a home that really matter are not those things that are acquired through late nights of staying up and working hard and doing all those things. Rather, they are gifts of God to those who rest secure in his will. It's absolutely amazing what is accomplished in a home when we put our complete trust in God and when we, in our heart and in our mind, know that overall he is in control. This all leads to the holy enchantment of the home, the happy contentment of the home, and the healthy refreshment of the home. Three major words: enchantment, contentment, refreshment. The holy enchantment of the home. Someone has said that there are two kinds of magic, that of heaven and that of hell. Now, I don't believe in that statement. First of all, I don't believe in magic. Magic is illusion, as we know. But if they said, if they were referring to heaven and hell as being magic, they're sort of saying it's an illusion. But that's not true. Heaven and hell are real places. They are not an illusion. They're not a figment of somebody's imagination. If they're referring to the home setting, maybe there are some homes that in it feels like heaven. Things are going along so well. In other homes, it may indeed feel like hell because things are not going along very well at all. In a home environment, if a home environment reminds us of evil or reminds us of hell, then it is anything but a sanctuary coming home to it. In fact, you'd want to stay away from it. If, on the other hand, the home is like a place of heaven, then it's a place that you want to be and you want to come back to. Nothing on earth is as wonderful as the enchantment of a loving home where love never ceases to permeate all members and even guests who come in the home. Every now and then, I've been asked to pray a prayer of blessing over somebody moving into a new home. And when I do, if I'm called upon to do so, then I always pray that the Lord will also bless those who enter these doors, that they will feel something of the presence of Jesus in this home. It is so important for people to know. I know that there are people who go into certain homes and they know there's no peace there, there's no Jesus in this home. However, we need to continue to pray to that end. Many years ago, from an unknown source, this person wrote about building a Christian home. Now, this may be a little idealistic in what they have to say. There are three words for us to keep in mind: preparation, construction, and build. Preparation, construction, and build. Now, in this preparation, this is what the writer says: invite the Lord Jesus to lay the cornerstone. Excavate for the foundation by removing all doubt, fear, and selfishness. All doubt, fear, and selfishness. Remove that. We don't want that in our home. What we want is the Lord Jesus to be in charge. We want Jesus to build that foundation. The second word was construction. Erect a strong framework of faith, supported by beams of deep devotion. Lay stout flooring of sympathetic understanding. Insulate with enthusiasm and plaster with a sense of humor. Shingle the roof with protective kindness and apply siding composed of high hope and great expectation. Now, you heard me say this was somewhat idealistic, and it is, but it's something that we can keep in mind as we're doing our part to build our home. If there are young people present today, and there are, who will be starting a home soon, you will want to keep these in mind. There's no better way for you to begin your home life than to make sure that Jesus is in your life and you are reporting to him, and also that you want Jesus to be the Lord of your home as well. And then build using permanent fixtures of honesty and integrity. Honesty and integrity are so important. We have to be honest. We have to be people of integrity when we're dealing with our children or with our grandchildren. We don't want them to see anything false in us, because there ought not to be anything false in us. Allow the windows to admit sunshine for the joy of living. Allow there to be a steady glow of friendly warmth. Now, having said all that, I'm wondering about its practical application. I know of a family. There were six children in the family, and you know that in a family of six children, there can be lots of activity and interaction. And sometimes they'd be out a little bit late on a Saturday night, and the one thing they didn't want to do was get up early to go to church on Sunday morning. But that was a rule in their home. They had to get up and go to church. So in order to combat any of the evil forces that might exist, the mother of their home would play Christian music very loud on the phonograph or on the record player. And she would play it so that the Christian music filled the home during that time. The children knew it was time to get up, even though they may not want to, but nonetheless, it was the time. And it was Christian music flowing throughout the home that kept things on a very level basis. So that was a prayed God's item. We're talking about the holy enchantment of the home, and then a happy contentment of the home. The writer in the book of Hebrews, speaking of marriage, says this: "No, keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.'" Now, if Jesus is in the home, he's never going to leave us or never forsake us. Now, you heard the opening words. It says, lives free, keep your lives free from the love of money. I want to go on a little tangent for a moment, because I've heard so many people over the years say, money is the root of all evil. And they say that they're quoting Scripture. Not true. What Scripture says, the love of money is the root of all evil. So that's putting material things and money ahead of everything else. Oh, yes, we need money to live on. That's just the way our economy works. This is important. It's not wrong to have money, but it's the love of money that causes a great deal of difficulty. Back to this verse: keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Again, just another aside. Sometimes when I'm praying with someone who is nearing the end of life, I remind them, if they're believers in Jesus, I remind them that Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even in your moments of your decreasing in your life substance, you're at that point. You can't keep going. Never will I leave you. Jesus is in your life forever and forever and forever. Heaven is in your life, even before you pass from this earth to the other, because Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven. And therefore, heaven is in your life and in mine if we know Jesus as Savior. And when that time comes for our physical life to end here on earth, then angels will be there to transport us, to take us to be in glory with him. We will have heaven within us, and then we will be within heaven. It's important to keep this in mind. There's a test in all of this. The happy home is one that does not have to depend on material things for true contentment. I know there are people who get to the point, I want to earn more money so I can get more things. I want to have more and more and more, when in fact, we may be well off just with what we have. I think one of the major lessons that I learned on two trips to Africa was that the people with whom we stayed had so little, but they praised God for all that they had. They praised God, and actually it was more difficult coming back into our environment instead of going into that environment. Going into that environment, you expect what's going to be there, and that's what's there. When you come home again, you begin to feel a little bit guilty that we have so much in our community, and the people in Africa, at least where I was in Kenya, they didn't have a great deal. However, praise be to God. Where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. Remember that. Where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. He, Jesus, who turned the water of sadness into the wine of gladness at the marriage of Cana in Galilee, is the one who continues to affect this kind of miracle in true Christian homes. Let me ask you a question. Would you say that your home is a Christian home? Would you say that in your home there's Bible reading and there's prayer? Would you say in your home that Jesus is the head of this house? We've often heard that priests or bishops or cardinals or ministers are the head of a church. It's not true. It's not true. There's only one head of the church, and that is Jesus. And that same head of the church ought to be the head of your home and of mine. We say this, for those where Christ is the head, all things work together for good to those who love him, who love the Lord. Our perspective is so important. You know that sociologically we understand that a person's perspective to them is reality. They may not be right, but that is their particular reality. So our perspective makes all the difference in how we live our life. For example, if a husband and wife, husband or wife, or one or the other, are never satisfied with anything, there's a lot of disharmony taking place. If, on the other hand, both husband and wife look on life positively, with Christ as the head of the home, what a difference it makes. Perspective is so important. I know of one lady in a family who was never, this person has moved away, but she was never satisfied with anything. Never satisfied with anything. The husband just sort of let it roll off his back, so to speak, but it was a lot of disharmony. And then I came across this. I read it a little while ago. A young woman who worked in a factory, and she was using a sewing machine. And then she wrote these words. She said, my husband was left an orphan and never had the chance to go to school or learn a trade. Now, this is obviously some time ago. However, he works as a laborer on the docks. He makes very little money, but he loves me enough to trust me with all he earns. We have nothing the rich people have, and we are boarding until we can finish and furnish a little home for ourselves. My husband does not go to the local bar or places like that, and he never goes out somewhere for pleasure without me. Every night, he kisses my hands that have worked so hard all day. We've been married for over a year, and we've not had one cross word. Do you think I mind helping a man like that? No, his love makes everything worthwhile. Now, when you think about that scenario, it is possible that the wife could have been tremendously upset, could have been in a point of saying, we don't have anything. Look at what the others have. My husband is not making enough. He's not doing enough. But that wasn't the perspective of this lady. This lady thanked God for her husband and what he was doing. And he, the husband, thanked God for his wife and all that she was able to do. Remember, it depends on perspective. But that perspective is guided by God's Spirit in your life and in mine. Is the holy enchantment of the home, the happy contentment of the home, and a healthy refreshment of the home. We read these words, for he grants sleep to those he loves. For us to keep sleep in the will of God is to know something of the spiritual, mental, and physical refreshment that God can bring into home life. It's putting our trust in him, in loving him, allowing him to love us. Someone has said, home is the place where you ought to enjoy the restfulness of being understood and the peacefulness of being undisturbed. In the New Testament, there are many miracles of Jesus that we know, but there were three marvelous miracles, three homes that were devastated because of the loss of someone in that home. And we remember from Scripture that one was an only son, another was the only daughter, and another one was the only brother. And they had died, and then Jesus came along, and Jesus prayed, and they were brought back to life. I've often wondered how many people in this world today have been brought back to life because of the power of Jesus. We don't have healing power ourselves, but Jesus does, and Jesus reaches out and touches us where we need to be touched. One was an only son, the other an only daughter, the other an only brother. Two important principles this morning, a divinely furnished home and a divinely favored home. The scripture says, Solomon says, sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Praise be to God for families where there are children. Contrary to what culture or tradition may imply, God's greatest favor upon any home is the desirability of parenthood and the responsibility of parenthood. The desirability of parenthood. Sons or children are a heritage from the Lord. Dr. Stephen Olford, a great preacher and a great theologian, he once wrote, what is more rewarding in normal married life than the sunshine of little faces, the patter of little feet, the music of little voices, the pressure of little fingers, and the love of little hearts? I can tell you, whenever I see a man or a woman walking along with their little children, holding hands, it touches my heart. It brings tears to my eyes. Daniel, I saw you walking in this morning with Millicent, holding your finger as you were walking into the church. It brought tears to my eyes. How wonderful it is. And you know what else impresses me? When I see a husband bowed in prayer. Yes, a wife bowed in prayer, but when I see a husband bowed in prayer, that touches my heart. It is just something that wells up within me. Praise be to God. This day, whenever I see a mom or dad holding a child or holding on the hand of a child, my heart is stirred. The desirability of parenthood, the responsibility of parenthood. Again, in the Word of God, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Now, we might stop and think, now this is Solomon speaking, back in a day where they used bows and arrows, we don't use them today for that same purpose, why would he use this as an illustration? Well, here it is. In an arrow, with a bow and arrow, the flight, direction, and effect of an arrow depend on the way that arrow is produced, polished, pointed, and poised. So think of those last three words. when we think about raising children. It depends on how they are polished, pointed, and poised. Just as an aside, the other day, Linda and I were at home, and our doorbell rang. And so Linda went to the door, and here were two boys. They had been playing ball, and one ball went over our fence and in our yard. And they pressed the doorbell to ask if they could go in our yard and retrieve the ball. Well, we thought that was absolutely marvelous. If I'd been a little boy at that time, I probably would have just gone into the yard and picked up the ball. But no, they rang the doorbell and asked that he go in. And our thought was, somebody is bringing those boys up in the right way. What were those words again? Polished, pointed, and poised. We have a stern warning from a man who was sentenced to 15 years of hard labor because of the crime he had committed. Now listen to what he had to say. There's something vitally important to this. He said this, "I pardon the judges. Their sentence is just. I pardon the police. They did well to arrest me. But there are two people in this court I will never forgive. They are my parents, who brought me up without God and without hope." Now, friends, there's a message. There's a message in that one. As parents, it is our responsibility to bring our children up in the faith. Now, when they get older, they may not accept our faith. That's their responsibility. But as long as they are part of us, we want to bring them up in our faith. And praise be to God when children put their faith in other fathers and other mothers, if that faith is based on the Word of God, based on God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God their Father, God the Son as their Savior, God the Holy Spirit as their Comforter, not just a one-time event, but an ongoing event, Comforter, day after day, hour after hour. What is the essence of a true Christian home? In a few words, it's this: a family living together with God. In John's Gospel, a young couple are about to be married, and they invited Jesus to their wedding. Just being in the very presence of Jesus would have graced, gladdened, and glorified their marriage, and this would have been an immense influence on their future home life. So I have a few general questions for us today. Number one, have you invited Jesus into your own life? You cannot lead a Christian home if Jesus is not in your life. So have you invited him? If you haven't, may I ask you to do so? Second question, have you asked him to direct every aspect of your life? I think I've told you many times before that when I was a teenager, I read a book, and one of the verses was Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And I found it to be immensely valuable. I don't think we as teenagers had the same temptations. We had temptations, but not the same ones that people have today. I'm told that our high schools are rampant with suggesting that people, young people, get involved in drugs. We didn't have that temptation back then. But nonetheless, that verse, "the temptations I had, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," was a great blessing to me. And if anything came up that I knew I ought not to do, I relied on that verse, that Jesus would give me the strength to not do something or to do something. Another question, have you invited Jesus into your home life? Have you invited him to be head of your home? A home without Jesus in it can be hell on earth. A home with Jesus in it, where he is truly honored, can be a heaven on earth. For each and every one of us, may we come to the Savior asking for his cleansing through his precious blood. Remember, there's nothing else that saves us or covers over our sin than the shed blood of Jesus. Not your blood or somebody else's blood, but our Savior's blood, covering over all of our sin. His cleansing through his precious blood, his power through his indwelling Holy Spirit, and his daily guidance through his word. Now, you know by now that in this congregation, we uphold the word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. And is anyone here this morning who does not look at the Word of God every day, one verse or one paragraph or even a book, then you need to start doing so. You'll be surprised how God's Spirit will speak through His Word. That's the way, pardon me, God speaks mostly today. He speaks through His Word. Does that mean God does not speak to individuals? No, He does. But we do know that He speaks through His Word. That's why we proclaim that all words from Genesis to Revelation is the Word of God. And when we read it, so many times I've discovered, and perhaps you have too, some particular thing has gone on, and all of a sudden, the reading for that day or the scripture verse I read for that day touches my heart. It's exactly what I was looking for. This is God's Spirit working through you and through me and through His Word to touch our lives. My prayer is that all here today have turned to Jesus as Savior. And let me say this. I know there are families that our family have now grown up and they've left the home and they're not following the Lord. But let me say to you, while it grieves your heart, pray, pray, pray. Pray that somehow someone will speak to them and they will see what needs to take place. Somehow someone will speak to them about God's word and about God's love and about Jesus dying on the cross for them. Sometimes people have to get very low in their life experience before they realize, I can't do it on my own. I need help. And therefore they turn to Jesus. And so that's why we need to be an influence to others. That's why we need to pray for our family members, both close and distant. Pray for them that they will come to know Christ as Savior and Lord. And finally, realize what it means to put their complete trust in Him. It's a difference between hell and heaven. It's a difference between living with Jesus forever and forever or living in hell without Him. Vitally important. We must not take it casually. It is serious business. I pray that you all, we all, have put our trust in Jesus this day.